A very good evening to you all listeners and faithful listeners of Eagle FM and faithful listeners of Life Lessons. I'm your host Ndafa Happy Juju and you are tuned into Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. The show where we bring you hope. The show where we talk about something to encourage you to keep you still pushing and moving forward. Welcome to Life Lessons. Now tonight we're talking about the state of mental health or the importance of mental well-being. And we will, perhaps some people may be wondering what exactly health entails, what exactly mental health means. Well, we're going to find out today about that. And actually, one thing that I've come to realize, is I attended a session that was meant for parliamentarians or members of parliament and on educating them about, the state of mental health here in Namibia, what our condition is. It made me realize that there's a lot that still needs to be done in terms of mental health. If we're going to raise awareness about mental health, we're going to have to do more than just raise awareness. We're going to have to dig deeper and take action, because a lot of people suffer from mental health, and some of them actually recover and some of them it gets worse. But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about with my wonderful guest in studio this evening. Now, I want to start off with the definition of health. Now, the World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So just because you're not sick, just because you don't have a particular sickness, just because you don't have a particular illness, doesn't mean exactly that you're healthy. I hope that makes sense. Because if your physical well-being, your mental well-being, and your social well-being is not fine, then we would say that you're not healthy. Because remember what health actually is. It is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Now, one thing that I learned this past week that challenged me to the core, that took me some time and I thought about it, was that apparently every one of us can become a patient, a mental health patient. And I was like, wait, what? Hold on. All of us, every single one of us can become a mental health patient. And it is only, and the speaker was speaking, said it is only a matter of time and circumstance. In other words, if you were in a particular, at a particular time, in a particular circumstance happens to you, that might be your trigger. For some people, it may be a loss of a spouse. For some, it might be a loss of a child. For others, it might be a loss of a job. For others, yet it might be a house burned down, everything burned down to the core. And that can trigger, because having to process everything that comes with all that and finding it difficult. Because remember, you have not coped with this before. So you can't really say I'm leaning on my experience of what I've learned before when I dealt with it the other time. It's happening to you for the first time. And a lot of emotions are involved. You're questioning so many things. You're wondering what you could have done or what you couldn't have done. And so many things are going through your mind. And for some people, that's the trigger. Hence why that speaker said every one of us can be a mental health patient. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of time and circumstance. So now, if certain circumstances, like those probably that trigger you, that actually get to happen, then I guess then you won't be. But then mental health and mental well-being affects each and every one of us. Perhaps a family member, a close loved one, a colleague, or somebody you see in the society that is not mentally well. That's your cousin whom was married and a few years later, or maybe even months, you hear that she's back home because her marriage didn't work out, and now she doesn't seem to be so fine. She's not herself anymore. You know, mentally, she's going through so much. It's a shock to her. She's finding it hard to even internalize that this is happening to her. So it is happening around us. Perhaps your spouse went through something that really, even childbirth, you know, some of these things like can have really an effect on a person to some extent. So anything really can cause mental disruptions. Let me put it like that. But I'm not the right person to actually have the right words for this evening. I do have a beautiful guest with me in studio who will be thoroughly speaking about her story. And I'm going to dig deep from her for why she joined this career in the first place, a career that is dreaded by many, but is actually very important in the society. And she has an experience of 25 years in the mental health sector. Now, before I actually introduce my guest, let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace because I do have a scheduled break coming up and we'll get right into this conversation. Please stay tuned. You are just tuning into Life Lessons right now and we will be getting started right into this conversation, into this topic so very soon. So don't go anywhere. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. See you right after.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device,
it's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. Like I said, you are tuned into Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, here to discuss yet another topic concerning us in the society. Now, tonight we're talking about the importance of mental health, and my guest is right here with me, who's going to break it down for us. I have none other than Magdalena Di Dallera. I sure hope that I'm getting the same name right. Good evening, ma'am, and welcome. Welcome to Life Lessons.
A very good morning, good evening, mm-hmm. and a very good evening to the listeners also. And thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. It's really a pleasure to have you, especially when we're talking about mental health and mental well-being. Now, first, before anything else, Mami Magdalena, I first want to ask, I want to first find out from the very beginning, how is your evening? How has been your weekend? How has been your week? Yes.
Thank you so much. My evening is okay. My week has been a bit hectic. Being who I am in my specialty of mm-hmm. work. So, but the weekend has started very well and I'm doing very well besides now the cold, which keeps us indoors. No, we are doing fine. I'm doing very well.
Wonderful. Now I know that, you deal a lot with a lot of patients that are, that I want to use the right words this evening. I don't want to say words that will then, you know, come off like very wrong to those who are listening. Perhaps, and please excuse me, it's just perhaps for lack of better wording. Not really that it's going to come off intentionally, because we are talking about a very sensitive topic. Is it not so?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Mary Magdalena, when you pursued a career in walking around
mental affected person.
Yeah, thank you.
So we are fighting against stigma. So nowadays we are very, very sensitive to words.
Yeah.
So you can say mental affected, mental challenged persons.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. So now when you joined this career of working with people who are mentally affected or challenged people, what triggered you? What is it that you saw among perhaps in the environment that you were in that, you know, made you realize that, you know what? I think I want to be working in this field.
Thank you for the question. let me start here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a nurse by profession.
Uh-huh.
A registered nurse.
Okay.
With a degree that time they used to call it a university diploma, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, which was also not my calling. Of course, I liked, since I grew up in my primary education, secondary education, at secondary school, they used to call me kind of, don't say sensitive words. That one will, she thinks she's
she'll
a preacher or what.
Oh.
Yeah. So she will not be happy when you mention sensitive things or bad words. So, but up to that time, I still didn't really think I would be a nurse.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a health inspector, public health practitioner. So, but then ended up being a nurse through my colleague. I didn't go for public health anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't become a health
inspector.
I went for personal management, which is now HR at NAST. But then in my first year, my friend, my colleague convinced me that we should go for nursing. And I'm like, no. Oh yeah, it's not so bad, but how will I look when I'm in the uniform? I'm too skinny and I won't look nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when I entered nursing, I kind of appreciated it. Taking care of physical, emotional well-being and social well-being of fellow human beings. I really appreciated it. So God was just guiding me. After I finished my 4 years, I, of course, for a few months, I worked in general hospitals. But then in 2000, I came back to Windhoek and I was placed in a mental institution. That's where I worked.
As a nurse.
As a nurse.
Oh, that time they would place, or even up to now, a nurse in a mental institute, even though they didn't specifically study that.
Yeah. One. Yeah. No, no. In our 4 year training, there's a component, there's a 2 year modules of mental health, psychiatric nursing.
Okay.
So we did basics of all conditions, of everything about mental health.
Uh-huh.
In fact, in nursing, you do basics of everything. Basic of law, basic of finance, basic of administration. That's why a nurse can do anything, can specialize in anything, because we touch almost everything in many fields.
Mm-hmm.
So I had in my diploma there is a subject of mental health, which I did for 2 years. So I was placed in at a mental health unit in Windhoek.
Okay.
So I worked there until 19 years and for 19 years and 4 months as a nurse in the hospital. And my passion grew and grew. Immediately after I landed in the hospital, I was asking the matron, what are we doing? We are treating patients. Patients go back home. They come back after 2 weeks. What is this we are doing? Maybe we should start with community awareness raising campaign or something program. So we started talking to the radios. At the moment, many people of Oshwambo radio listeners, if you say Magdalena de Dalua, of course they will know.
Mm.
They have heard my name. We have been going in our uniforms when I'm off, when I'm doing night shift. I will always make time to go in my community. We even went to the extent of establishing some support groups of mental ill patients, mentally affected. So, yeah. So I have been there. I have rendered mental health nursing care for 19 years.
I see.
And then from there, I went for specialization in mental health at UNAM. And then I got a post of a health program officer at the ministry now, where I am for since 2019 now, from April. So I'm now there for 4 years now, three, 4 years as a program officer.
Okay.
So my job is policy making, administration, strategic plannings, research, which we are still have to do. Yeah, studies, mental health studies, those type of things.
Mm.
So I'm doing administration.
Okay.
The only office in the country.
Actually, you're the only one that has been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, since I took over from my predecessor who went on retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So she was also just alone. So until now, there is only one mental health office for the ministry. Yeah, but then 2 or 3 years back now, I was joined by a colleague who was funded by projects like the CDCs, Global Funds, those ones.
Mm-hmm.
So she joined me. So now we are two, but she's more of integration of mental health into HIV and TB.
Mm.
So, but at least we work together and well, we are really trying to push the agenda of mental health in the country.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Magdalena, you went to specialize at UNAM. How many years did that specialization take?
It takes 1 year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's not such a long program, but it's only 1 year whereby you specialize in skills, in therapeutic skills, mostly on crisis interventions, cognitive therapy, psychoeducation, yeah, only on skills, mostly on skills, and of course the management.
I see. Yeah. And when during your studies, as you're busy learning, and I take it that you were still working at the time when you're specializing.
Yes.
Were there a lot of people also, or was it few people that were also specializing doing the course that you're doing at the time?
When we talk about stigma facing mental health, it's not a joke.
Sure.
And it's everywhere.
Mm.
Starting from an ordinary community member up to the top level of the government. So many people don't want to specialize in mental health.
Mm.
And it was also one contributing factor is that the society society see it, if you study mental health, either you are also affected or you will turn up to be also mentally affected.
Mm.
How in your right state of mind you are going to specialize mental health, are you fine? So stigma is everywhere, even with among health workers.
Mm.
They do not want to specialize. So we were very few.
Mm-hmm.
The first intake started in 2016 with only, six students.
Six students.
Yeah. And then as we were the next intake, which was 2017, we were only two. And then the following.
Your intake was only two.
We were only two. And then the following intake was only one person. The following one was two. And then somewhere it became four and four and four. Last year it was five. This year, for the first time in history, they are now eight in the class. Nurses. Unfortunately, many people who have shown interest are not nurses. So it's only designed for nurses because it's kind of continuation of what you did in your degree. Yeah? So it only takes up nurses. So, but they are really hesitating to come. And of course, there are other challenges, the cost, and some of them are family people. They've already graduated. Some are married, they're family. And so it's also another challenge, but the will is also not that high among the nurses who want to specialize.
Clearly.
Yeah. Clearly. So at the moment, we are only having, plus minus 16 so far, who they are total since 2016, but the ministry only now have around 8 or 9, because some of them went for greener pastures and some of them failed.
Okay, yeah.
Due to challenges, like I said, some just drop out.
Mm-hmm. And some drop out for...
Yeah, so our wish, when now I became a program officer, I really started forcing for having all the regions sending nurses to go for specialization, all 14 regions. My dream is to have each region has one or two mental health nurses.
Imagine.
But so far, we have only managed to have 6 regions who are having. The rest is still not having.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but of course, some regions are having more than one. Among the number I mentioned, some are in one region.
Mm.
So, but we wanted like each region to have one or two mental health nurses.
At least.
Because they do quite a lot. They do the work of the psychologist. They can do the work of a social worker.
Imagine.
They can assist with the doctors also. Like the one in Okavango West, she's doing all the job which mostly the doctors and psychologists are doing.
We'll be back to continue right the way we are leaving off right now. For now, we do have a commercial break that's coming up in day 4. Let's take that and we'll be back to resume. So it's a serious conversation that we're having right here in studio this evening. You don't want to miss out on everything that we have for you in store. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poik is ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
No way. Everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get it without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassim, bruh. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And we are back. We are talking about the state of mental well-being or the importance of mental well-being in the society itself, in the community itself, and who actually is behind this, behind people to be mentally well, stable, or just in a well state of mind. Who is anyone when things shift and become chaotic? Who do we run to if really those who are supposed to be rendering help to us are not there? And if we ourselves are not willing to actually do it, then who's going to help us? So that's what we're talking about now. And my guest in studio is Magdalena Didalera, and we're talking about mental well-being. So Magdalena, you were speaking about your desire, your wishes that mental health practitioners or nurses are at least one or two in every region. Imagine. And this is not something that we talk when we're speaking about, no, we want doctors. We can't even say we want at least one doctor per region, but we're talking about at least one per region because it's the scarcity of them is just so severe.
Yes. It's so severe while mental health cases are going on the rise.
Exactly.
So you have got less manpower to address a huge
problem.
Burden of mental health cases in the country. And we have seen a lot of contributing factors. We are seeing high number of suicide due to a lot of issues, relationships, poverty, desperations, unemployment, abuses, all those, we know them, how they are happening in our country. Mm-hmm. We have got substance and drugs, alcohol. I always say, when it comes to my scale between alcohol and drugs, drugs can be very, very dangerous because once the person starts using drugs, sometimes it's so difficult to go back. That person will remain like that. It might be for the rest of that person's life. And drugs are so, the impact is so such big. I'm not saying alcohol is better.
Of course, I understand
But drugs, especially when it's now happening in the children and the brains of the children are still growing. The growing of the brain is not supposed to be disturbed by anything.
Yeah.
But then if it's now disturbed by heroin or whatever, cocaine, while the brain is still growing, the damage used to be big and sometimes irreversible.
Mm.
So that is another issue. So we need to have staff, we need to have enough workforce to address a lot of these issues. Road accidents, and Namibia is topping in all these social problems.
Mm.
Road accidents, suicide, Namibia is topping, violence, Namibia is topping, sure. Namibia is topping in everything.
In so many
but
things.
But we don't have staff to address this kind of situations. Of course, we have got social workers in our regions,
mm-hmm.
and the police. Those are the two cadres who deal with these issues. But are they enough? Especially the social workers, they are overwhelmed. They have got their social work duties.
Yeah.
And again, we are adding them the work of the psychologist. And those two, they are not the same.
Social worker and psychologist are not the same.
They are not the same.
Explain.
What we usually do, say in a community, if you have a problem, you go to the social worker.
Yeah.
If you have suicidal ideas, you go to the social workers.
No.
Yes, they have done components of psychology, mm-hmm. of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to get full services of counseling, you need to see a psychologist.
Mm.
And as we speak in the ministry, we only have six. So five in Windhoek and one in Omaheke and one in Erongo. Sure. So we need those people.
So even Oshakati Hospital doesn't have...
Oshakati, there's nothing. Any other places, there's nothing of a psychologist.
Mm.
Not even psychological counselors.
Mm.
So I think Zambezi has a psychological counselor, but we at least need to have psychological counselors if the psychologists are
mm-hmm.
not there
mm-hmm.
to really go deeper when a person needs counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Or social workers are very much overwhelmed and yeah, so we need to do a lot to address these social issues
mm-hmm.
in our society.
Mm. While we are still in this discussion, I think I will extend this plea myself to any student out there or learner who's in grade 12 and wants to pursue health. You know, I think I'm thinking that the job market is wide open. The job market is wide open for those who actually go and study this. They can easily be absorbed. And who actually is going to fill up these gaps? If not you. So make sure that, if you know that, of course, I guess it also looks at the requirements of a person and the characteristics of a person to say, if you think that you are able and you're capable of doing it. And there are also some fields where one will be scared to say, I don't think I can. But until they get trained and they are able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So should you be that person, please don't hesitate to actually fill in the gap.
Yes.
Mm. So, Magdalena, when you're talking about mental well-being and mental health awareness, what exactly are we talking about? What does that incorporate? What does this actually entail?
excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
The society has got a misunderstanding of the difference between mental health and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment we hear the word mental health, we are only thinking of a person who is running naked in the street. But that's not the case. There's a difference between mental health and mental illness. Being mentally healthy.
Yes.
And being mentally unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And being mentally ill.
Mm.
Yes.
Being mentally healthy. Mentally unhealthy, and then being mentally ill.
So okay. When you are healthy is mm-hmm. when you meet some characteristics. And when you are not healthy is when you don't meet these characteristics.
Mm.
And when you are sick, mentally ill is when you have gone to move to another stage, the worst stage
mm-hmm.
of being unhealthy, whereby you need treatment.
Yeah.
You need maybe medication and maybe you need admission.
Mm-hmm.
So there are levels of mental health or mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I have now to explain, to be mentally healthy, it's whereby your feelings, your emotions, your behaviors are going hand in hand with the norms and the values of the society where you are.
Okay.
Yeah, just to put it now.
Yeah, simple. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's your ability to successfully perform in terms of your mind, your ability that your mind functions successfully. You are productive. You are able to yield fruits in your society.
Yeah.
You are able to have a fulfilling relationship with other fellow human beings, whether romantic or whether with the family. You see, we have people in our society whereby you are not talking to this one and not to this one and this one, and that the work people don't like you and the family don't like the end, and you can't stay in the relationship. So it might be that you are mentally unhealthy because all the people cannot hate you.
Oh.
It might be that you are the one who is not healthy, who will need help through the psychologist, as I said, to bring you to function normally, accepted in according to the to your society. When you are able to adapt or to cope with the stressors of life.
Yeah.
So life has got a lot of stressors, like I said them.
Yeah.
So me and you, we go through the same, for example, divorce or death. But you bounce back productively or successfully. But me, I remain there. I get into up to the depression. So my ability to cope is not strong enough. It's a bit weak.
Yeah.
So you are saying you are mentally not healthy, but not mentally sick.
Okay. Mentally not healthy, but not mentally sick.
Whereby you will need a boost by a psychologist or by a counselor or even by a pastor or even by anyone who have got knowledge to really build up your confidence.
Or that family member who is very good at advising people, counseling.
Just put you to a healthy mental health functioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but the illness now is when you like we said, is still your thinking, your feelings, your behaviors have gone now to the extent that they are no longer functioning. It disturbs or it interrupts your daily living activities. For example, you were going to work. You are no longer able to go to work. You are not able to get out of bed to go and fetch your water and wash your clothes and wash yourself.
Or you're not able, perhaps you are a mother and you're not able to take care of
your, so your functioning is now, your daily living functioning is now affected in terms of your feelings, in terms of your mood, in terms of your behaviors, in terms of your speech, all those ones is now when you can see this person is not mentally fine, this person is mentally sick. That's now the illness whereby you might need medication or you might need admission. So yeah, it's like I said, it's stages.
Okay.
We have gone to that stage.
And even mental illness has stages, right? Okay.
Yeah, so even mental illness is like for example, depression can start with stress. And then if you do not attend to that stress, you go into distress. If after distress, if nothing happens, you go into depression. And depression is part of type of mental illness. You in that case, you will need treatment, either counseling or medication. Yeah. So there's stages. Don't say, I'm fine. But you do have some things which are stressing you. Those ones can grow into distress and into depression or into psychosis. Nowadays, we're all supposed to know what is psychosis.
Yeah.
We are so psychotic. We insult each other. We say words to each other. Sometimes in jokes. You and your psychotic behaviors. So psychosis can result from the stress which is not treated, attended to.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, there are many causes of it.
Okay. How do I know that I'm mentally, I think probably all of us do go through mental unhealthy. Okay. How do I know that I'm at a point where I'm mentally unhealthy, probably heading into mental illness? And what triggers should I look out for before I actually head into mental illness and get the help that I need right on time?
Like I've said, symptoms are there, like in those areas which I mentioned.
Yeah.
That's how you see them, in the behaviors, in the speech, in the feelings, in your emotions. That's how you notice them. In many a times when a person is suffering or if starting to have these symptoms, in most cases, they do not recognize it themselves.
Mm.
But the lucky ones, they do recognize that something is happening with me.
Mm, mm.
But many of them, they will tell you, no, I'm fine.
Mm-mm.
If you insist, let's take you to the hospital, and then you agree to be brought to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then you ask them, they will say, I'm fine. It's them who are not fine. They are the ones who are sick. Usually, many people do not realize that now some there's changes in my behaviors, in my feelings, in my...
Could it be that they are ignoring it, or they sometimes really don't?
Yeah, sometimes they really do not. Sometimes they feel maybe it's a normal feelings.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's just normal. Maybe it will go away. And then later the person start, no, I heard someone calling me. Who was that? Then the others were like, no, there's no one. So it went from a long way.
Yeah.
It came a long way. It's just that person was either thinking, no, it's maybe just a feeling which is on me, it go away, or something they really cannot pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you will see it in terms of, like I said now, the areas. Let's start with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes all of a sudden you just feel sad.
Before we actually get into the emotions, Mamakhtanina, we have a scheduled commercial break coming up, but we'll continue with the emotions right after we come back.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. We won't be too long, and we'll be back shortly.
The best just got better. Paratha's fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second, starting from just $500 Namibian, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation, so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Paratha's offices to find out more, or go to paratha.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
And we are back. Of course, we are talking about mental well-being. And Magdalena was talking about the emotions that come with this. Please kindly do go through it.
Yes, I want to touch the areas where you will realize that someone is mentally sick or getting mentally sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or I myself might be getting mentally affected.
Yeah.
So the first one I said is on the emotions, whereby you develop sadness. You are just feeling sad for some time, or sometimes just too much happiness comes in you. You don't know where is it coming from.
Yeah.
And then like in the morning, you are so happy, and then in the afternoon, you are so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So that is bipolar starting.
What actually is bipolar? Bipolar means
two.
By two. 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 Polar. Polar means?
Polar...
I think polar. It's sort of like things that attract.
Yes. Like one go the poles, like poles.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
One goes up, one comes down.
So it's like sort of like two, complete different people.
Two directions, two sides.
That are opposing each other.
Yes. Like in the morning, you are so down. You can't even come out of the room. You feel so overwhelmed with sadness.
Yeah.
And then after a day or in the afternoon, you are so full of energy, you don't even want to sleep. You are there, energetic, very happy. You are over the moon. Yeah. So some of the symptoms of the emotions are those ones.
Yeah.
Whereby you want to be alone. You get easily irritated. You get easily frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, what is happening with me? Why am I getting like this?
Mm.
So it's the emotions which are being disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other area, like I said, is now the behaviors where you want to be alone. You are so angry. Any person who, even a joke, you are just so irritated, you end up even throwing a word to the person.
Mm.
And in terms of the thoughts, there are thoughts coming in you, for example, telling you that these people don't even like you.
Mm.
You are not so worth living. These people are up to something. They want to attack you, or these people hate you. So it's some thoughts which is coming in you. Or in worst scenario, you feel, some people feel, I'm so important. I can even communicate with God.
Mm-hmm.
I've got special power with God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so unique. These people are lower than me. I'm so, I'm such a super natural somebody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So those are some of the thoughts which comes in a person when you can see this person is. And then, of course, they lose touch. You start losing touch with reality. All of a sudden, you don't know where you are. You are seeing funny things. You are hearing a voice calling you. You are maybe feeling things moving in your body. So strange feelings comes in you which were not there before.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can see something is happening with me.
Mm-hmm.
I must see someone. We always advise, please see the doctor when you observe or when you feel strange things coming in you which were not there before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how you see or how you recognize someone else.
Mm-hmm.
These are basically some of the main symptoms which can come out mm-hmm. from a person.
I like how you touch those aspects and those pointers now.
Yeah.
My next question is spirituality and mental health. And we tend to combine the two, and I think they're completely two different things. Some people say when somebody is mentally ill is because they are under demonic attack, and other people also whereby church, perhaps they can have somebody whom they can see is not mentally well, and they will only focus on having that person in church and praying for them for deliverance. Can you go through that?
Yeah, we from health perspective or science, we are a little bit skeptical to talk about the spirituality thing, but because we don't know whether a person can, we don't have evidence that demons can cause you to be mentally sick or witchcraft can cause you to be mentally sick. As health, as scientific people, we look at the
physical
causes, like was there injury to the brain?
And I think that's not wrong.
Was there injury to the brain? Did you suffer from any illness which affects the brain cells? Were you maybe using drugs? Were you using alcohol?
Did something emotional happen to you?
Is anything emotional trauma that happens triggered to you?
Mm-hmm.
It, of course, can be genetics. Genetics are also proven by science that there are genes which is in us, which we inherit from our ancestors, which can cause mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they say everybody's having that gene.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what trigger is it to come out. For example, you have your gene and then you went through a horrible relationship or a certain psychological trauma. And then it will come out and then you become mentally sick. So we are more on science, things which are proven. So of course, even when we treat based on the symptoms which we are displaying. For example, if you are too restless, because one of the symptoms is restlessness. A person cannot stay at one place for a long time. You sit on a chair in an office, after 2 minutes you move to another place, or in the house from one room to another, they are so restless. So we look at the symptoms. And then the science is saying when the brain is disturbed, it's mostly the chemicals of the brain which is affected, which is giving wrong messages to you.
The neurotransmitters.
I remember the neurotransmitters, the neurons, the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the hormones. The neurotransmitters and the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
They are the one who play important role in terms of the development of mental illness. When the messages are too much, when neurons are bringing too many messages, then the person goes into maybe schizophrenia, or when they are too low, then you go into depression. So even the medication which you are being given is to balance these chemicals. If you are now too much, then they work to lower the chemicals, and then you balance, and then the person recovers.
I see. But I'm of the opinion that I think both are important, but then there's also awareness that's needed in this aspect to say, as much as one might be a Christian going to church, but then again, let's not take away, let the pastors and the church leaders not take away the aspect or the part where that patient needs to go and see a professional who is a psychiatrist
to treat the symptoms.
To treat that, yeah, because they studied that, they studied the behavior. Mm-hmm. And of course, not a lot of church leaders actually have this background, mm-hmm, or this study. They can offer their part of help, and still on, yes, another part, the person get helped, yes, from another angle.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we came across things, mm, we came across, conditions whereby you give medication up to 6 months, mm, and this person is not recovering. You, yeah, give medication to balance the neurotransmitters, like, yeah, I said, and the hormones, mm-hmm, but the person is not recovering.
Yeah.
Or you come to across a situation whereby, and then you take this person, and then they take this person to church, and, mm-hmm, then the person will recover.
Yeah.
So it's vice versa. It's, mm, so, but from our side, we are more of the science, but we do have cases whereby you give medication, you change medication, mm-hmm, up to the second line, up to the third line of medication.
Mm-hmm.
The person is not improving.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go for prayers, so, but we will not, mm, go ahead and tell the people that maybe it's witchcraft.
Mm.
We cannot prove that.
Yeah.
But things happens like that.
Yeah. But I think also with prayers and with church, it gives hope.
Yes.
You know, this one thing about reading the Bible, even for instance, for myself, when I'm very down and I'm very depressed, and I've, mm, gone through that stage, actually. It's a story I want to share, actually, right after we're going to come for a commercial break when we do, but, I've gone through my own mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I really, that kept me going was reading my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to particular messages that were giving me hope.
Yes.
And these messages were talking about it will get better.
Mm-hmm.
It will be fine. Tomorrow is going to be better again. And, mm-hmm, scriptures that were pulling out hope. So now I look forward to the days ahead because I'm seeing hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with prayers and the church or Bible or whatnot, it's that hope that a person actually holds on to.
Yeah.
So as much as they are dealing with the trauma, they're telling themselves, even this is going to get better, you know?
Yeah. And again, another part is, there are people who take patients to the church,
mm-hmm,
and then the church will pray and pray and pray and pray, and the symptoms are not going.
Mm.
Then the pastor will say, some pastors nowadays, they will really say, take this person for medical treatment.
Mm.
And then as much as we are praying,
mm,
both two components must work.
Mm.
One is working on the chemicals of the brain.
Yes.
And then the other one will working on the spiritual. Because faith,
mm-hmm,
faith can also heal.
That is so true.
Faith can heal, especially issues of stress and depression. Mm. But those are not genetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you believe I am healed, when you read the Bible, mm-hmm, scripture, mm-hmm, and you say,
mm-hmm,
I believe I am healed.
Mm-hmm.
So you might really feel better, feel,
yeah,
good, or recover,
mm-hmm,
because your faith can always set you free.
That's true.
So yeah, so that's the relationship which we really need to advocate nowadays, that as much as you go for prayers,
mm-hmm,
you never know what is the cause of your illness.
Mm.
Do, especially if you go for prayers and did not recover.
Yes.
Combine them.
Yes.
Go to the doctor. Keep your medication. Drink in the morning, yes, while you're going to the church.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My grandmother is of that opinion from the very beginning. You drink, you go to the hospital,
mm-hmm,
and then you take the instruction of what the doctor, the psychiatrist is telling you. And on the other side, if you're going to kneel and pray, then you, yes, do that as well. But, mm-hmm, you don't leave your medication.
Yes.
And I think this is also the part where we need to cut off and say, those pastors who tell people to leave their medication, I don't know if there are still people who do that.
Mm.
They're doing complete harm.
Harm, yes.
They're doing complete harm. Mm. Because it's God who gave wisdom to the psychiatrists,
yes,
to the doctors.
Mm.
It's for some people, they can pray and get their healing then. For, mm-hmm, some people, he chooses to heal them through painkillers, yes, through pain medication. Yes.
Yeah. And then mental illness, it's an illness like any other. Let, mm-hmm, me say, the brain,
mm-hmm,
is a body part like any other part.
Mm.
If the heart can be sick, The brain can also be sick. It's not always witchcraft or spiritual or demons. It might be a natural illness which will need this medicine, as I said, to balance it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing which we should never forget. Mm-hmm. Because our belief which has been there is this one, saying whenever you become mental is ill, you are either bewitched or you are possessed or you are cursed or you are in Maya, all those things. It's not always the case. What about injury to the brain anyway? In an accident, and then the brain center, which is controlling what
medulla oblongata,
is affected by the accident.
Yeah.
And then you become mentally sick.
That's true.
That's now witchcraft.
Mm. So, yeah. Or what about those emotion? I'm still on this aspect of emotional triggers.
Yes.
You know, because my own was an emotional trigger. Mm-hmm. What about those emotional trauma that a person goes through?
Yes.
And then it triggers you into mental unhealthiness, mental illness. Yeah. But I've learned them
still. It's not always spiritual.
Yeah.
It can be physical.
That is true. Now we pause here again. We do have a scheduled commercial break. I'm learning so much. It's as if I'm in class myself. And we have the right lecturer here to teach us today. So I hope you're also listening. I'll soon open the studio line for you guys to come through and contribute, ask questions, air your opinions. This is Life Lessons, where we learn. We ask the questions so we can learn. For what? So that society can be a better place. And we're going to talk about different topics and different angles right here on Life Lessons. So we pause here. I'll see you after the commercial break.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right.
Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
And we are back. You are tuned into love and Life Lessons. You're tuned into Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I do have in studio with me Magdalena Di Dalera. But Magdalena, what is your title? How actually can I properly call you? Should I say a psychologist? What exactly should I say?
Okay, I'm actually a nurse.
You did say.
With a specialization in mental health.
Mm.
In other countries, they are called mental health nurses.
Okay.
But our system is of course, there are some issues which need to be addressed for us to qualify for that,
mm-hmm.
both from our side who specialize and from the system itself, from the ministry itself. So, but I am a nurse with specialization in mental health and a program officer is my position now.
Okay. Now, also, take us through, of course, by being cautious, obviously, take us through a typical day of your work, what you have to deal with, who you have to deal with in that angle.
As a nurse or as an administrator?
I think as a mental health specialist.
Okay. As a mental health specialist, when I was a nurse, as I said, I was doing nursing care, providing care, physical, psychological, and social care.
Mm.
especially for those who are admitted. Mm-hmm. And also in the community, we go in the community and give health education. That's what we were doing. So physical care, when you are admitted, I make sure that you, it's kind of, I call it a revamping. We will revamp you. I'm responsible to revamp you.
Yeah.
Say you have been running in the street, really confused, knowing where you are. Mm-hmm. No one would pick up the symptoms on as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the police brings you in.
Yeah.
And the human hair is standing like this and what and what.
Yeah.
So I will start with physical care to bring you back to normality again.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I will give the social care, whereby when the family comes to visit, I am I'm filling that gap between a social worker and their family.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the family when they come to visit. I talk to them. I give them health education.
Mm-hmm.
I pass the message to the social worker who's seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of psychology, again, when during our stay, because I'm 24 hours with you, when I knock off, my colleague takes over.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to you. I'm observing. My main nursing work duty is to observe what we are doing in terms of your behaviors, in terms of your feelings. And then, of course, come and report to the psychologist. If I pick up something psychological in you, maybe you were admitted because of psychological trauma, I would then pick it up and then come and inform the psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the medication work, if there's side effects, I will give you medication 2-10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
I am there 24. We become a one big family.
Mm.
You are with me 24 hours, day and night.
Mm-hmm.
When I knock off, my colleague takes over.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I've been doing for 19 years.
Wow.
And then when I'm now an administrator, I make sure that mental health activities are coordinated the whole country. As I told you, it's only one office.
Yeah.
So I'm planning for mental health activities.
Yeah.
I'm drafting policies and legislations.
Mm.
Like now we are very busy with a mental health bill because we have been using the South African one.
Mm-hmm.
We are moving to our Namibian mental health bill.
Mm-hmm.
We have been busy with that since I came in the office. We are dealing with that mental health bill and regulations,
mm-hmm.
and we are reviewing the mental health policy, and we want to come up with SOPs, SOPs is a standard operative procedures,
mm-hmm.
those type of things,
mm-hmm.
Internal procedures, internal circulars, internal guidelines for facilities, because mental health services are provided besides having one office in a country.
Yeah.
At regional hospitals, patients are being seen by these nurses.
Yeah.
Because every nurse has done a component of
mm-hmm,
mental health.
Mm-hmm. Like
so
you
they are seen in all the hospitals. So I make sure that mental health activities are coordinated countrywide.
Mm.
That's basically my job now.
Yeah. And you enjoy that, eh? It's coordinating. Yeah.
And the planning, we want to come up with this, we want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we want to do studies, but sometimes funding is not allowing us, staff wise also to do the activities is also not there.
Because
that's why we came up now with another strategy that we ask all the regions to nominate one person who has got interest in mental health.
Mm.
So now we are having 14 mental health focal persons.
Mm.
So in each region, if you go to the main hospital of that region, they will tell you, yes, we have a mental health focal person who will look at mental health issues in that region.
Yeah.
And but of course, once we have our nurses all have specialization, so we will have them as focal persons.
Mm.
But at the moment, we are using any who's having interest because
really?
They are not enough.
Okay, yeah, because
so
you're not enough.
We are using doctors, we are using social workers
mm-hmm.
in the absence of the mental health focal, of specialized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For a mental health focal person, is it a must that they should have a health background, or is it just any person who comes and says, well, I'm interested in working with mentally challenged people or mentally affected people, and then they can become a focal person, or how exactly?
No, what we did is we asked for any, you should be a health worker.
Mm-hmm.
Already in the system.
Okay.
But you have a passion for mental health. That's why we took any who Some are doctors, some are social workers.
Yeah.
As long as we have got the passion to really look at the issues of mental health.
And you have a health background.
Yeah, and you have a health background. And the challenge is now, like social workers, they are very, very busy, and then you make them focal persons again. They may not have enough time.
Yeah.
So that's why we need nurses who are specialized, dedicated for that job. Yeah, so so that's that. And of course, we went ahead with to other ministries also. We wrote letters. We asked them to nominate some ministries. They did, like education, home affairs, justice, any ministry which is dealing with mental health issues. So we asked them to do a nominated focal person. Whatever I'm doing now at the national office, I cascade it to those focal persons. And
at least.
It really made work a bit easier for the two of us.
And you can get an assistant, somebody to, as much as you have focal people, can't you get an assistant who is right there with you at the office, maybe to help you with this work?
It has to come from the structure of the ministry.
Yeah.
In the ministry, in the government, there is structures. A person cannot just come in.
True.
The whole the structure must be created, the position must be created, and it's a long process. So that's why we thought with this, now we should just go for focal persons who are already there and have passion to assist.
Yeah, it makes it easier.
Yes.
Ma'am Magdalena, in all your 19 years and 4 months work, have you ever dealt with a patient or particular patients that displayed as if there was no hope for them when they came in, only to later see them recover, and now you have even met them on the street, perhaps holding down a job professionally, and life has completely changed for them? Have you ever?
Of course, yes,
yeah?
A lot. Our success rate, I would say 90%. You can come there whether you have got psychosis, and then this medication will balance you, and you go back to normal, and you go back to your work.
Yeah.
It will all depends on how you take your follow-up seriously. So we do have directors. We have got higher ranking people who are taking our medication, and they are doing very, very well. And those who are, especially those who are suffering from depression, they will come in lost hope. Some they will come from suicide with ropes marks on the necks, and then they will be like, I don't know, what was I doing? Because we have got our approach, we have got a multidisciplinary approach in that the hospital, whether it's now the one in Windhoek or the Ward 16,
yes,
but Ward 16 is not that much having all the cadres, but the one of Windhoek, the social workers, the psychologists, five of them, there are occupational therapists, there are psychiatrists, and there are medical doctors, and there are nurses. So when you enter that building, they will sort you out. Whether it's now a psychiatric, whether with medication to remove the symptoms. If they realize that you have also social problems at home, maybe you have got nowhere to stay, or there's chaos at home, violence at home, a social worker will step in. If they realize that there's a psychological issue which needs to be attended to, the psychologist will step in. By the time you leave the hospital from 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you are a healed somebody. It will all depend on your follow-ups, the maintenance of the treatment. If you don't come for follow-up, of course the symptoms will come back again. That's for
and
sure.
And you have to start over.
So you have to stay on medication. Whatever follow-up they give you, you need to come back. And then they will monitor you for a very long time until they release you to be on your own. But of course, you still have to come for your medication.
I see.
Yeah.
Are your officers not really officers, or should I say, is it also called hospital or your facility?
It's a hospital. It's a mental health unit. It's a hospital.
Yeah.
It's a full force facility.
Yeah, between Katutra Hospital and Central Hospital.
Yes, between Katutra and Central Hospital. They've got all the wards, children's wards, male wards, female wards, even the part of forensic, the law part, whereby those who commit suicide while they are mentally ill, they've got their unit also there. So it's a full furnished facility.
Can I walk in there, into that facility, and say, I'm not fine? I need help or I need to be referred to by doctors or nurses?
Yeah, there was a time when they will allow you to walk in, mm-hmm. but nowadays, because the number of people increased now,
mm.
they will ask you to start at the clinic mm-hmm. nearby you,
mm-hmm.
or if it's a private doctor, you go to the doctor and then you ask for a referral, and then you will come, then you will come to them, and then the doctor will screen you and see whether you need other disciplinary team,
mm-hmm.
as I said, to come mm-hmm. on board.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's open, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
The services are free. You will not pay anything. You come there and you get sorted. You get your medication, you get all your consultations, and you go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a commercial break, but we'll be back shortly with more on this.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before.
Tears away, and I felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days, and I've prayed prayers to heaven from my lowest place, and I have held your blessings, God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough, and no matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone. Your God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone. I've watched my dreams get broken, in you I hope again. No matter what, I know I'm safe inside your hands. On the mountains in the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone. You give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all, you will remain over it all. Father, you give and take away every joy and every pain. Through it all, you will remain over it all. On the mountains, I will bow my life. Yeah. In the valley, I will lift my eyes. Oh, on the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, God of the hills and valleys, God of the hills.
God of the valleys, the God of the hills and valleys, and I am not alone.
And we are back. We're talking about the importance of mental well-being and just about mental wellness in Namibia society, what is actually happening on ground and what is lacking on ground. And of course, Mme Magdalena, now you did say within your 19 years and 4 months of service, you have seen people recover just and go back to their normal lives. So this should actually be an encouragement to a lot of people out there who go through mental issues or mental illness. I know for some people, they usually feel like maybe there's no hope. It's not going to change. And I also want you to speak on the time frame for healing. I'm sure it's different for different people. And I think that's why I really want you to lay it on the ground so that everybody knows that their case is unique.
It's a bit difficult to say how long does it take.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the cause.
On the cause.
Yes, it depends on the severity. Mm-hmm. It depends from a person to person also. For example, when it caused by psychological trauma.
Yeah.
It depends on how long have you suffered from that trauma, how is the impact,
mm-hmm.
is the cause of the trauma still there?
Mm-hmm.
For example, is maybe you break up with your boyfriend and then you get into depression and then maybe you end the relationship, the cause is no longer there.
Okay,
so the doctor might give counseling, and maybe if you need medication, you get medication, and then you heal completely because the cause is not there.
The trigger.
But, the trigger is not there.
Okay.
But if you go back to the same trigger, even if it's how treated you are, you may not recover fully. And it depends on the cause, whether it's genetic.
Okay.
Or it's caused by an external thing. Mm-hmm. If it's genetic, it might be difficult to heal completely.
Mm-hmm.
But you may remain stable on medication.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part we always emphasize.
Mm-hmm.
You can remain a stable life on medication.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it can take weeks. It can take 1 week. It can take 2 weeks. Depends on how far were you with the illness.
Mm-hmm.
If you just started and then you, early recognition, early identification is very, very important in our health education. We say identify whatever you pick up. Act on it as early as possible, either on yourself or on your fellow person.
Yeah.
Try to pick up it fast and then seek for help as early as possible, because the longer you wait, the longer it will also take time for you to be healed, even with medication.
Mm-hmm.
The longer, the severe the damage to the brain cells it is, the longer it may take also to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may not recover at all.
I see.
So the early intervention, early identification is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you cannot really have a specific time.
Mm. What about cases where I've seen a close sister, not necessarily biological sister, but she went through a case where I don't really know what the situation is or what the trigger really is, but it seems like she and the husband, they don't seem to, it's not even that they would argue and fight and quarrels and stuff like that, but there are certain things that she wished that she could do. I think that the husband doesn't actually allow her. And with that, with her having that mindset of I have to be submissive to my husband and all that kind of stuff, and where he says we should go. So they were staying in Windhoek, and then they moved to another place, and then they moved to another place.
Mm.
So it's always him moving, and she has to follow until she got to a point where she became mentally ill. And she's getting her medication. She was actually happy to go towards 16 and be there. And I was actually surprised, because a lot of people usually don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was really willing to go there and get the help that they need, but that she needs. But she hasn't actually gotten better? In a case like this where it seems like the husband himself might be the trigger,
yeah,
or the environment itself is showing that mm-hmm. this is, what would you advise family members to do? Because families tend to say, stay there. And sometimes what the best option is to actually remove you from that environment for yes. a time being
mm-hmm.
and so you could recover. And then perhaps when things have gotten better, you can go back to your marriage. What would you say about that?
Yeah, oops, there's so many things there. First of all, our coping mechanisms are not the same. We may say, go back in there, try to be strong. Mm-hmm. It's our culture. This is how we lived. Mm-hmm. But our coping mechanisms are not the same. Some yeah. people get easily broken. Some people are strong.
Yeah.
Some people, the damage can be very extreme. So we really, I don't think it's a good thing to say go back
mm-hmm.
to the same environment. Like I said,
yeah.
the healing depends on the environment, the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
If she goes back to the same trigger, then we are not doing anything.
It's,
unless the trigger mm-hmm. is also now educated that what you are doing to this person, it causes this. Then
yeah.
if the trigger stops or is removed,
yeah.
then perhaps she can be really... And one thing we also need to understand, all of us
mm-hmm.
as human beings,
mm-hmm.
is cultures there to influence us. We live by our cultures and mm-hmm. what. But we forget that the body is an entity on its own.
Mm.
You may obey the culture and the social, the norms and the values of your society,
mm-hmm.
but your body is telling you, nope, I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm.
You are forcing me to obey things which hurts me,
mm-hmm.
which hurts me as mm-hmm. a brain, which mm-hmm. hurts me as
mm-hmm.
a body.
Mm-hmm.
So it will tell you itself. You can suppress it. You can suppress
mm-hmm.
it. One day it can just burst.
Yes, it's true.
On its own.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we need to be careful of this suppression mm-hmm. or submitting to things just because we want to be good to the culture or
mm-hmm.
to the marriage or to
mm-hmm.
what. The body will respond itself, whether you want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The body will respond itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it will not be good when the body responds itself.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is so true. And when you actually do force it, I think it becomes even worse.
It becomes worse.
Yeah, when you're suppressing it. But when you actually, and I think it's very important to listen to our bodies, to listen to our emotions,
yes.
to listen to what is, you know, our body tells us that this is wrong.
I'm tired. Not happy with,
yes.
I can't take this anymore.
I can't take this anymore. Even with okay. marriage, like
yes.
specifically now that we're talking about marriage, because, there's this norm that fight for your marriage. And of course, everybody wants to fight for their marriage, but then there are times when really it gets overwhelming
yes.
where you just realize that, you know what, I think at this point, and it's not about being cowardish or giving
mm-hmm.
up. I believe it's reaching a point where you say, I think I can take this anymore, because
yes.
at the end of the day, we don't want that which is negative
mm-hmm.
to come out of that situation.
Yeah, no, we need to listen to our bodies and obey what it's telling us because we live within our bodies.
Mm-hmm. So, and we have instincts.
Yeah, so if we really not pay attention to it,
mm-hmm.
it will not be good. It
That's
will
true.
Not go well with us.
Mm-hmm. Now, our studio line is very much open. Should you want to come through, air your opinions or contributions. So perhaps you have curious questions like I do. Well, you can come through and ask me, Magdalena, on 0832-888-401 is the number in studio. So you are very much invited. Now, also dealing with mental affected people or mentally challenged people also comes with the physical aspects of where people are fighting and force and being applied and all that kind of stuff. How have you been able to navigate through such situations and still maintain the pressure that you still carry as we are having this conversation? I can still, you know, tell how you're really invested and interested you are. How have you been able to maintain that momentum and not actually give up?
For me, it's a passion. Like I said, stigma is still there.
Mm.
your job is mental health. On so many occasions I was asked, am I also not mentally affected? But there are two people I remember who said, since I joined working at that hospital, I also became mentally not fine according to their diagnosis. So the pressure is there, the stigma is there, but the passion has been pushing me. Getting an opportunity to deal with a human being's mental side of a human being, it kind of, it kind of gave me that satisfaction that I'm serving humanity. I'm doing what is so important in a person's life. I never regret joining the mental health unit. I never regret doing what I'm doing. Me and the patients, we are very one big family. We meet in town. They know my name. I know their name. They have a lot of them are having my cell phone number. They call me when they are not doing well. I think I'm relapsing, Magdalena. What must I do? So I became so attached to them that I'm just enjoying it and I have got no regret. And I think I'm just coping well, besides now other factors, but in terms of my job, I'm enjoying what I'm doing.
Oh, wonderful. We have a scheduled commercial break coming up and then we'll be back to continue. But you are also welcome to partake, in what we are having tonight is what we're discussing on the importance of mental well-being. Our studio number is 083-288-401. Perhaps you want to talk about, the scarcity of staff, in this field, or perhaps you want to talk about what you are also passionate about it, or perhaps the conversation is really just reminding you of what's happening within your society. 083-288-401 is the studio in is the number in studio. Please don't hesitate to call in. See you after the commercial break.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June-July is open for certificate and diploma in Information Technology, Software Engineering, Human Resources Management, Business Administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, Computer Literacy Skills, A+, and PC Technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-2341-86.
And we are back. You are tuned into Life Lessons. If you're only joining us now, well, welcome. It's a wonderful conversation that we are discussing this evening. And if you have been with us from the very beginning, well, thank you. Now we're continuing. Now, Ms. Magdalena, you spoke about children also being at the psychiatric ward. And I'm actually curious to see what will children be doing in a psychiatric ward?
Mental illnesses affect everyone from conception to old age, from birth. Let me say from birth, but the effect can happen even from conception. If anything happens to the unborn baby, it can get into mental illness when the child is born.
Yeah.
So during birth, for example, let's talk about pregnancy first. Any infection which can go through the placenta and go to the baby, can cause mental illness. Any injury, maybe the mother was kicked while she's pregnant or any accident, it can pass to the baby, and then the baby can be born with mental condition. During birth, if the birth was not managed properly, maybe the baby was too big and then the mother is pushing and what, and then the brain injury. After birth, the child fall, the child got injured from the head.
Or even though it was born normal.
Yeah, and then or the child got infection and then it enters the brain. Mental illness can affect at any age. So as a result, we do have even a ward at our unit. A children's ward with mental health conditions. As young, it can be as young, at any age of children, they can be admitted there. Children with hyperactive, I'm always having a problem with that word, yeah. That is hyperactivity in children. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Yeah, so those ones, and children with intellectual disability, those who are born, we used to call it mental retardation. We do have them there. Children who have used substance drugs as young as 7, 9, 11, 12, up to 17. So we do have them there. So children with epilepsy, although epilepsy is kind of a medical condition, we also have them there. Learning disabilities, conduct disorder. Yeah, so we do have them there, admitted there. So, I've spoken about the causes, what could be the causes. Some can be genetic, of course, like I said. So, yeah, but they are the children, they also get affected. Even trauma also, a lot of them, they've gone through abuse. They grew up with parents who abused them, and then they got trauma, and then at any age, then they can get also emotionally disturbed. Yeah, so we do have them.
What about children who perhaps their parents went through or their family, whether it's a loss of a loved one or perhaps separation or things like that?
Yeah,
that
we do. It's part of the psychological trauma when they went through divorces of parents, separation, changing from one place to another, displacements.
I see.
Yeah, whereby they have adjustment disorders, or post-traumatic stress disorders. It's also among children. So, yeah, those are the, and of course, few of autism, it's kind of intellectual diseases. Yeah, we do have them there. We have a word for them.
What are some of the things that we parents might be doing that could trigger children? Maybe not right now, but in the long run.
Yeah, like we said, emotional abuse. We might do things hoping that children are not picking up. Children has got emotions like any other person.
True.
So they can pick up, or whatever is hurting them, they can keep it, and then at a later stage, it can come out. So, yeah, issues of abuse, whatever we are, like I said, during pregnancy, whatever we are doing, whatever we are putting in our bodies can affect the unborn baby. Yeah, so we have always tell them the pregnant mothers not to drink, because alcohol substances, they do affect the children, the unborn babies. So those are some of the things parents do. Emotional substance, injuries. Some parents are not really that careful enough, whereby children, they fall from the bed, fall from the tree, fall from a chair, and then the child got brain injury. These are some of the things we parents do, which can also affect our children's brain. Or the child becomes sick with fever or any infection, and you don't take to the hospital as early as possible. Some infections, like I said, they enter the brain cells, and then the child becomes mentally sick. Malaria being one of it, meningitis. Whatever you see, the child is feverish, we have to hurry to the hospital because fever indicates infection and you don't know what type of infection. Maybe it's the same, it's this infection which can enter the brain of the child. Like now, malaria, meningitis, tetanus, TB can also enter the brain. COVID-19 in adults is one thing which we don't talk much, but a lot of people got affected by COVID-19.
I see.
And we don't know what happened. We are just starting to forget and we have some brain cells affected by COVID.
Okay. Before I actually do let you go, as we are moving closely towards the end of our conversation, I would want you to address some of the myths that go on in regards to mental health or mental well-being or mental illness that are actually not true.
Yeah, the most obvious one is the one we have been talking about this evening. The one that the cause can be spiritual, you are being cursed, you have done something wrong and you got witched or something. Mental illness can only be treated by spiritually. Mental illness is for the cowards. For example, depression is only if you are having weak emotions that you become sick, but we don't know that it can be, people are different in their coping
mechanisms.
So some of those myths, what is the other one? It's mostly on the causes and that it cannot be treated. Once you are diagnosed, you are finished, it's the end of your life. Which is not true. As I said, we have got higher ranking people who are taking medication. Some are taking from private and they are doing very, 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 very well. So it can be treated. It can be prevented. It's not always caused by spiritual. Those who are suffering from it, they are not cowards.
It seems like mental health does not discriminate either.
And it does not discriminate, yes. So, like I said, it's in us. It's part of our lives. You don't know when it's going to be triggered and come out. You don't know when you will get into accidents and your brain cells. The brain is a factory divided of different departments.
Yeah.
If the part of memory is the one which is affected, and then you lose memory.
Yes.
If the part of concentration and attention is the one which is affected, you lose concentration. If the part of which is controlling your movements is the one which is affected, you end up being restless, moving from one, you cannot stay at one place. If the part which is controlling your perceptions, you will end up, you will find yourself, if it's the one which is affected, you will find yourself seeing funny things, hearing funny things. Hearing voices, seeing ghosts, whatever, or the part which is controlling your thoughts, if it's affected, then you will find yourself having abnormal thoughts, beliefs. You are being witched. You are what? You are not loved. Those things. So that's how the brain works. It's divided into departments. It depends on the department which is affected.
I get it. That makes sense. And it's clearly, explained. What would your, not necessarily ideal, what would be a dream come true for you when we're talking about mental health in Namibia? What is those particular targets, being a program coordinator? What is those particular things that may look out of reach right now, but may seem possible to be reached, to be achieved? That which is your dream when we're talking about mental health and mental well-being in Namibia?
This is a very good question. My dream is to see each and every Namibian having insight and or understanding of mental health and mental illness. Every Namibian being able to identify a symptom either on yourself or on a fellow human being and do something about it.
And do something about it.
Yes, because I don't want you to see someone, that one is just something. I don't know what is happening with her. I think something is not good. And then you are just saying it and you're not doing anything. I want everybody to have basic skills to be able to approach a fellow human being and say, I have noticed that you are like this. You are too quiet these days or you are isolating yourself. Are you fine?
Mm.
If you are not fine, I'm willing to
help you.
To help you. I'm here to listen to you. You may not have the answers, but you are able to guide this person. Like I said, when the person is in a situation, he or she does not see it. Not necessarily that they don't
yeah.
see it.
It's like when you're in a box, I think.
So we need to be the eyes and the ears of our fellow human beings. We need to be there, the keepers of our fellow people.
Mm-hmm.
Do something about it or approach a pastor or approach a health worker in your area and just help out. That's my dream. Mm. And of course, to have so many professionals who can help now at another level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At least two. And maybe in future, we're talking about at least five per region.
Yes, five per region. Who can, or five of one in each hospital.
Yeah.
Who attends just to those cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, Namibia only has two national referral mental health hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah,
so, so which means that everybody else with Windhoek catering for 9 regions and Oshakati Intermediate catering for 5 regions.
Yes.
So everybody else that is affected then get referred to those two hospitals.
Yes. That's why we are fighting now to empower health workers in those other hospitals for them to have more skills on how to manage it and keep the cases to their hospitals, not refer them.
Yeah.
Because like Windhoek is very much overwhelming. You heard in the statistic the other day we had an awareness session when they said they can see up to 150 per day.
Sure.
At the clinic, because they have a clinic and the wards, the outpatient.
Oh.
So they can see more than 100 or up to 150 per day. So that is an overwhelmed hospital. But if all the clinics in Comas are empowered, they are able to treat themselves. The doctors are able to treat, the nurses are able to screen and keep the cases, refine them there.
Mm-hmm.
That's also one of our dreams.
Mm.
Yeah. Because,
And I sure hope that, the Ministry of Health and if all stakeholders involved will actually realize this dream where eventually there is enough professions in this field that are able to cater for the people. Because as you said, mental incidences or mental illness are on the rise now.
Yes.
Yeah. And what would you say is perhaps the major cause or some of the major causes that are causing mental health to be on the rise? For me personally, I'm thinking maybe comparison, the way life is for some people, socially, economically.
Yeah, there are two factors. The reason why they are even recording, we are even recording now high cases.
Mm-hmm.
One factor is people are suffering in the country.
True.
Poverty, unemployment, a lot of social problems in the society, and people are sick, are affected. Then the second one is that through this awareness raising which we have been doing since, like me and my colleagues, we started raising this since 2002. So people are now aware of the facilities. People are aware of where to go.
Yeah.
So those are the two factors while we are recording high cases.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is now people are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And any physical suffering can always end in mental condition.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger and poverty, abuse, some diseases.
Yeah.
Disease burdens. Mm-hmm. I've been diagnosed with diabetic and I've been in this condition. Where will I end up?
Yeah.
It becomes also mental. Yeah.
Death.
Physical illnesses can expose a person to mental illness, especially the chronic ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people are suffering from physical illnesses.
Yeah.
High blood pressure, diabetes, cancer being one of the worst one also. Yeah. Once you are diagnosed, you start thinking, am I going to recover? Hopefully. I heard people from cancer, they don't recover. So one day I will die. And then right from the diagnosis, the person is already mentally affected.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why we really need to do a lot of education. When a person is diagnosed, HIV, cancer, those ones, immediately they must already start with counseling to tell them that this is not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. This is an illness like any other illness. Mm-hmm. With your medication, you will be fine.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's the situation in the country. Unfortunately, we can't see it. I don't know whether our leaders can see it, but
yeah,
the contributing factors are those ones. Genetic is also there, but mostly is the external forces which exposes us to mental health conditions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, for those who are mental health patients or the have experienced or are experiencing mental illness, is this something to be ashamed about? Because I know these, you did mention a lot that stigma is still attached to it. But for me personally, let's say I'm suffering from mental illness and I'm a mental health patient. Is that something that I really should be ashamed about?
It's not supposed to be, although
society
has made us to feel like that, we the service providers and the service receivers. So, but it's not supposed to be. As I said, mental illness is a disease of the mind like any other disease. It can be stabilized by medication, but the stigma is still there. When you are seen crossing that road, going in that building, a person is already picking up the phone and call the friend.
Yeah.
I saw you going in the building. So, but it's not supposed to be. It's mm-hmm. us, the society, which made people to feel like the feeling is there.
Mm-hmm.
They are hiding themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you get employed and they realize that you are going to that building to go and take medication, they will dismiss you. Even this year, I had a case.
Really?
Yeah. You are unemployable. And if you got employed by luck, you will be dismissed because you are considered not productive, because you are taking this medication. But they are doing well. It's the feeling is there, which we instill in them, but it's not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we feel pity and sorry for, say, cancer patients. Why can't we do the same thing for mental illnesses?
Yes, we need to understand that this is the illness like any other illness.
Yeah.
Of course, you lose touch with reality if it becomes severe.
Yeah.
But once you get there are medication. And nowadays, we are even moving from the traditional, the old medication we have been using. We are now moving with modern technology. They are bringing new medication.
Yeah.
So once you take medications, it will balance the brain nicely and you will be fine.
Is taking medication something that becomes a lifetime thing, that I should continuously be on medication? Or is it something that once my symptoms start to show that I'm okay, I can then cease to take them?
Yeah, like I said, it will all depends on the condition. Some condition you might take for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Some conditions, if like the trigger is no longer there, like in depression, you may recover. Or you may get out of it. Mm-hmm. But then we do not advise you to stop on your own. The doctor must always supervise you, monitor you, until he or she tells you, now I'm giving you a break of 6 months, for example, stay without medication and come back after 6 months and see how you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the doctor's decision which we rely on for you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But only some conditions, not all of them.
Uh-huh. And also, is it every mentally ill patient that gets to take medication, or can I be a mental illness patient, or mentally ill patient, but you're managing me with counseling and not necessarily with medication? Is there something like that?
Yeah, like I said, it depends on the severity.
Ah.
With some cases, you may only need counseling.
Okay.
You go on ongoing counseling for some time. Once the psychologist is satisfied with your progress, then he or she will release you. But if the condition has gone to the extent you might need the medication, then they will only stop it when they see that you are also now doing fine on medication.
Mm-hmm.
And here we used to advise that let's keep our brains healthy. Well, let's take care of our brains.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I always have a bonus slide for my presentation to say, take the things which build the brain cells, like food,
mm-hmm.
and all the lifestyle habits which you have to adapt. But food helps also a lot. You might be diagnosed with a minor illness of mental illness, minor one.
Yeah.
But then you continue taking supplements.
Yeah.
Like you take omega 3
uh-huh.
products of the fish, the seafood, mostly seafood, but they say omega 3 is very good to balance the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe green leaves and the nuts, those ones, and the dark chocolates. Yeah. I have a list of those ones.
Yeah.
So just to keep your brain healthy,
mm-hmm.
even if you are diagnosed with a minor condition, if you keep on your supplement, taking supplements, you might balance your brain well and it will function very well. But in severe conditions, you cannot survive without medication.
Mm. Magdalena, as we are coming to the closing of our session, of our conversation and whatnot, kindly a word to those who are mentally unhealthy and those who are mentally ill, and also those who are mentally healthy.
Yes, I will start with the mentally healthy one.
Yeah.
The advice is the one which I just ended saying now. Mm-hmm. Keep your brain healthy.
Mm.
Eat healthy. The nutrients of the brain. You can Google them.
Yeah.
You know, what food must I eat
yeah.
to keep my brain healthy. Avoid any causes which we mentioned here,
mm-hmm.
which can expose you to mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic relationship, move out.
Thank you.
Anyone disturbs your peace of mind, move out.
Mm.
Avoid by all means anything
any
which
trigger.
Can mm-hmm. which can cause the disturbances of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are having unhealthy already, seek help. Go for a psychologist. They will always teach you how to balance your behaviors or, mm-hmm. or on the healthy characteristics of a mentally healthy person.
Yeah.
If, for example, you have got short temper, because those are now the unhealthy ones,
mm-hmm.
the short temper, the attention seeking, the antisocial ones, the manipulators, the people who take advantage of others, those characteristics, unhealthy characteristics, that's another topic on its own.
Yeah.
Seek help. Those who cannot cope with problems, 1, 2, 3, you are already hurt, you are crying, you are into depression, you are into sadness. Seek help so that they can teach you how on healthy coping mechanisms in life. Because problems are there.
Yeah.
You can never run away. You need to be taught to be tough, to face them and overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are now having severe symptoms
that
really are not coping, like I said, is when they are interfering with your daily life and the people near you. Maybe you are just now going to work, you lock yourself in the office, you are not doing the job, you are affecting the employer and you are affecting your colleagues. That's what we say when it's interfering with your daily life and the people near you.
Yeah.
Go for a doctor and get treatment. So that's the advice I'm having. Let's not keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something to whatever. Even if you feel that I'm healthy,
mm-hmm.
avoid. Prevention is better than cure. Yeah. Let's practice that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, your lovely boyfriend or your lovely girlfriend or your marriage or something, death happened, your lovely husband died in an accident, you owe yourself and then you what.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are into mental condition.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be ready that life carries things. And we are ready to face them.
Mm.
And if we cannot do it, we go for professionals to assist us.
Mm.
Yes.
I like that. And I appreciate that.
Yes.
This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
I have learned so much myself. Thank you for being a lecturer from those 19 years of experience within your classroom of dealing with mentally affected people and mentally ill people.
Yes.
And I wish you all the best in your field.
Thank you so much.
And also that you get more stuff and that very soon, perhaps 3 years, 5 years from now, we won't be talking about understaffed.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the listeners for listening to us. I hope to do more of mm-hmm. this type of sessions because yeah. our nation need to be educated.
That's true.
Like I said, we need to have some basic knowledge on mental health. It's That's very, true. Very important for us and mm-hmm. for our fellow human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And with that being said, I'm actually dedicating this month to mental awareness since May was Mental Awareness Month. And I'm dedicating this month. Next Saturday, again, make sure that you do tune in as I will bring in a senior medical officer. I think that his proper title in mental health. And then after that, I will also be bringing in someone else who's going to talk about the state of mental health in Namibia. So be on the lookout as we'll be discussing these topics and more others. Why? For a better society and for ourselves so that we can learn. And from Indafa Happy Juju, I want to at this point say good night. Have yourself a wonderful evening. May you rest well. May you sleep well. May you have hope that whatever you're going through today, you will surely overcome it and tomorrow will be better. Now, I will see you again next Saturday, same time, same place on Life Lessons. Now, should you be interested to listening to this conversation again, please head over to our podcast session. All you have to do is download the Eagle FM app or you can listen via the website. Now, goodbye. I'll see you again next time.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Just tell me how we can make this work.